going to ask that you will take your Bibles out, open them up to the book of Romans. What book did I say? As a matter of fact, there ought to be a crease there because we've been moving in that direction. Last week we started a series on the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. It's one of my favorite chapters in all of God's Word. And for those of you who were tempted to leave after the special music, as per John's request or Sean's request, thank you for staying. I'm encouraged. Of course, I'm going to talk to the head elder about Sean. I'm not sure what his wife has been feeding him lately. But then we've never been sure about that, have we, Sean? We have a beautiful group of people here. If you're visiting, come and join the chaos and the fun. What book are we in? What chapter? And we're going to begin with verse 5. I know the bulletin says 6, but we're going to begin with verse 5 because verse 5 is actually where the thought begins for that passage. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, especially in this particular part of the passage. Later on, we'll be looking at it from the King James venue. But I want you to start reading with me at verse 5. The Bible says, Romans 8, 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God, but it never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those, verse 8 says, who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But verse 9 says, but you are controlled by, you are not controlled by your sinful nature, you are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Our message this morning is entitled Remote Control. Let's pray. Father God, we ask in a very special way that you will just do two things to us in this moment, in this hour. Speak to us, and then, Lord, speak through us to the community you've called us to touch in your name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can remember the first time as a young man growing up that I saw a remote control toy. Can you remember that? First, well, some of you were born with remote control toys, but that was something new to some of us old timers. We had a toy that you could actually move around and determine which way it went, what it did from a distance. Whether it was an airplane or a car or anything else, it was a miracle that a person could stand several feet away and control the actions of something. Something that he had no physical contact with, something that he was not touching in any way. And today it seems that the world actually runs virtually everything by remote control. We sit in our armchairs or in our beds at night. We turn our televisions on or off, the volume up or down. We change the channels, all without leaving the comfort of our couch or our reclined position. We actually don't have to move anything but perhaps a finger or a thumb. Many start their cars in cold climates from the office or from home, and they'll have it all warmed up and running before they even open the door and walk out to it. We have those who basically, like myself, I'll type a document out on a keyboard using a scratch pad. Neither the keyboard or the pad are attached to anything. And then when I want to print it, I hit a button on the keyboard that's not attached to anything, and it sends a signal to another room in the house, and it prints out on the printer, all by remote control. That's amazing to me. A man sits in a building in Nevada, and from that building, he begins wielding a joystick which is controlling the takeoff, the flight, and the landing of some drone a half a world away. That's amazing. I could not help, as I looked at this particular passage that talked about being controlled, I could not help, as I meditated on our preaching passage this morning, I was compelled to reflect on the question, what power, what unseen power is controlling me? Verse 5 in this passage says, that which occupies our mind most is a strong indication of who is controlling us. Verse 5 says, those who are dominated, that means controlled, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. In this passage, we are reminded that either intentionally or unintentionally, we are all controlled by spiritual forces that are either of the holy kind or the unholy kind. In fact, the King James of this particular verse says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." The Bible commentary on this particular verse says, we are under the predominating influence of one or the other of two principles contrasted in this verse. According as one or the other has the mastery, so will be the complexion of our lives and the character of our actions. Paul describes the absolute contrast between the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 to 24. It's a passage like the Ten Commandments that I would recommend you remember, that you memorize. You say, well, I can't memorize very well. I was 7 years old when I knew the Ten Commandments by heart. You can do it. You say, well, Pastor, you have a great memory. Any one of you who has been around me long enough knows that's not true. But when we want to focus on a thing, we can do it. Some of you can tell me who won the Super Bowl for every year for the last 45 years. You can do it. Some of you know every person who has won American Idol for all the years it's been on television. You can do it. Some of you can tell me the recipe of how to make lemon chicken without even looking. You can do it. It's all a matter of whether or not we take the time to focus the mind on spiritual things. Can I get a witness? And when we begin to do that, it begins to happen to us. In this particular chapter, beginning with the 16th verse, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk where, church? Walk in the Spirit. Well, you say, what does that mean? It means to walk in spiritualness, in spiritual things. It means to focus your mind on the things that will give life and not the things that will give death. Let's look at it a minute. For the flesh, verse 17, lusteth, you can see I've jumped to the King James Version, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to another. We read about this in Paul's letter to the Romans. The good I want to do, I don't do it. The evil that I don't want to do, he says in chapter 7, I do, oh wretched man that I am. There is a war going on inside of me. The spirit that lusteth against the flesh, lusting against the spirit lusting against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that they, or that you, cannot do the things you would. But verse 18 says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. What law are we talking about? We're talking about the law of the flesh. See, most people don't believe the devil has a law. Most people don't believe that there are laws that are consequent to sin just as there are laws of God. God has laws that are designed to protect us. Can you say protect us? When men go out into battle today, they wear flak jackets, they wear helmets, they wear shields to protect them from the missiles of the enemy. God has given us the commandment to protect us. He's given us his commandment to guide us. Let me hear you say, guide us. God's law is to guide us. We live in a confusing world, and we have his law as a guide. It is not something that is against us. And if we will follow his law, it will not just protect us, but it will guide us. But then there are laws of nature. Violate those laws. There are laws of sin. Violate those laws, and things will happen to us. Last week when we talked about the death of the comedian Robin Williams, I said my first thought was, I hope he knew Jesus, and then my second thought was, I wonder if he was like one of the many celebrities who had actually sold himself to the devil, because many have, and the devil comes a-calling, and he says, time is up, our contract is over. How many of you believe that happens? Okay. How many of you don't believe that happens? Okay, so three people believe it happens, the rest of you don't know. It happens. Amen. To whom you yield yourself, servants, to obey, his servant you are. And all you've got to do is read the biography of many of the deceased celebrities to find out these who have confessed their addiction and their selling themselves out to the enemy have died strangely, quickly, and mysteriously without anybody ever suspecting it would happen. And then there are those like Robin Williams. There were things that happened in many different instances. I looked at this and I'm like, whoa, dude. That predicted, it's called predatory or predicting allegiances to satanic devices. There were those that predicted, even on the very day it happened, that these things were going to take place. If you want to know more about that, talk to me later, but that's not the focus. The focus is simply tonight or today. That if you're going to be led by the Lord, there are laws that are involved. If you're going to be led by the devil, there are laws that are involved. And that's what he's talking about here. In verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. I live in a day and age when I am amazed that some people, even today, don't know what adultery is. Adultery is simply enjoying the privileges of marriage with a person who is not your spouse. Amen. And then the next one on the list is fornication. People, I really run into people who don't know what this one is. Actually, they don't know what the word means. To say that they don't know it's right or wrong is a misnomer. Jesus is the light that lighteth how many men that come into the world? every man that cometh into the world. We are told in the book of Titus, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, God has taught all of us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously and soberly in this present life, looking forward to the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So everybody kind of knows a little bit about what is right and wrong. Fornication, what is that? Fornication is simply marriage privileges where neither of them is married to anybody. Some of our young people know a little bit about that. Uncleanness is the next word on the list. That's simply impurity. Lasciviousness, that's a new one to many people. It's called unbridled lust, is really what it's all about. And, oh my goodness, that's rampant today. Idolatry, anything that takes the place of God in our affections, that's idolatry. Anything that takes the place of God in our affections. Some of us need to stop and look at how we spend our time. I had a person who told me that they spent in a week maybe 20 minutes talking to God. Now, you got to understand, this was a person who had just told me that the number one value in their life was Jesus, was God. And I said, really? And I said, given all of your prayers during the week, grace, bedtime, rising, how many minutes would you say you spent? We added them all up. It came out to 20 minutes for the entire week. I asked that person, let's take an inventory of how much time you spend actually watching TV during the week. We're not talking about Channel 26, the religious channels. We're not talking about the Hope Channel. We're talking about the secular channels. How much time do you spend during a week? We took the time to count it out and inventory it. It was only about 90 hours in the week by their estimation. Let me ask you something. Is that person's mind on spiritual things? Where do you think they are walking? As I was talking to them, I was doing some pre-marriage counseling, and that particular individual was only about 9 3/4 months along. I said it was pre-marriage counseling, so you got an idea of what we're dealing with here. Are you there? And so it is that the list continues. Witchcraft. Magic potions, drugs, sorceries, ability to produce spells. Hatred, we know what that is. You just don't like people. Variance, hostility, enmity, animosity, antagonism, friction, and antipathy. Animus, acrimony, bitterness, rancor, resentment. Are you getting the idea? And then there is emulations. Emulations is a new word for a lot of people. Emulations just really talks about envy and jealousy. He goes on to mention wrath, which is anger, strife, which is conflict and friction that many people like. I'll guarantee you in Ferguson there were people who had problems with that one there. Seditions and strife. People coming all the way from California to incite riots in a city where they had no investment or involvement. They weren't there to keep the peace. They were there to incite dissension and division. Heresies, factions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Some people don't know what that means. It means carousing. It means partying all the time. And such the like of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. These are the works of the flesh. The next verse gives us a contrast. It gives us the works of the Spirit. And if you're going to memorize the whole thing, whoopee. But if you say, I can't memorize all those hard to pronounce words, that's fine, because we don't need to focus on sin. We do need to focus on Christ. Amen? And so the next two verses are very, very simple. There are only 9 things that God says is a contrast to all of that. Those who walk after the Spirit produce the fruits of the Spirit. There are only 9 things. If you divide them in 3 groups of 3, it's easy to remember. There's love and joy and peace. Let me hear you say love, joy, and peace. Okay, and so you guys over here, you're going to be love, joy, and peace. Let me hear it. Love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace, right? Okay, you guys in the center section are the next 3. You're going to be patience, goodness, and gentleness. You're what? Okay, what are you guys? What are you guys? Patience, goodness, and gentleness. Okay, and over here, we simply have meekness, temperance, and faith. What do we got over here? I didn't hear you guys. What do we have? A little louder, you guys. I know it's meek, but go ahead. We want to be strong meek. What? Okay, so what is it over here? What's it over here? Well, y'all pray for the middle section over here. I didn't say the mental section. I said the middle section. Okay? Patience, goodness, and gentleness. By the way, those are 2 easy ones. Goodness and gentleness, they both begin, gentleness begin with G, right? So you got patience or long-suffering, goodness and gentleness. What do we got over here? Oh, you guys go to the head of the class over here. I think it must be that you get more sun on this side at this time of day. Okay, what is it over here? Well, they're not bad either. Okay, so you guys just pray for the guys in the middle. What are they? Oh, they're coming along. I'm impressed. Hey, they catch on quick after a long time. That's it. Those are the elements that you will look for in the life of us, of a person who's walking in the Spirit. And folks, if you don't see that in your spouse, if you don't see that in your children, if you don't see that in the mirror, all kinds of flags need to go up in your mind. Because this is a life and death decision. You see, in verse 6, it says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. There are several things that I underline in that sentence. The first word was letting. What does that imply? Huh? What does that imply? Letting means that you have something to do with it, that the devil cannot come and the Lord will not come and force his will upon you. Somebody ought to say amen. We have a God who respects you enough. He is omniscient. He can do everything. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He can do anything he wants to do, but he will not force you. Say amen. God loves you that much. He respects your right to choose. And so the word letting here means that if the devil is controlling you or if the Lord is controlling you, you are letting them. Are you there? Ever since sin started, we have wanted to blame somebody else for what we do. Adam, what have you done? Oh, Lord, the woman you gave me, she gave it to me, and I did sin. Do you understand women have been causing men to sin ever since then? Huh? Now, that says something about both women and men, doesn't it? Women, you have power. Use it wisely. Men, you don't get some. You need Jesus. Adam, what did you do? Oh, the woman made me. She didn't make him do it. She influenced him with her loveliness and the sound of her voice and the sparkle in her eyes, but she didn't do it. She didn't force him. There was no gun in her hand, no spear. She didn't rip the tooth out of a tiger and threaten him with it. Eve, is this true? What is this that you have done? Well, you know the serpent you put in the tree. The snake, he deceived me. Well, that says something about women. They're gullible. The serpent deceived me, and I did what? And I did eat. Oh, yeah, the serpent put a gun in his mouth and threatened to shoot you if you didn't eat the fruit, right? No. Ever since that time, people have been trying to blame something or someone for what they do. The word letting in this verse says that God says you are in control. You have the choice as to what controls you. Are you with me? Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. As I said earlier today, celebrities from Justin Bieber to Miley Cyrus, from Bob Dylan to Oprah Winfrey, from Lady Gaga to Beyonce and Jay-Z have admitted selling their souls to the devil. By the way, folks, parents, have you taken stock of what your children are watching and listening to for entertainment lately? I know there's a time when you've got to let them go, but you need to be working with them before you do. Are you out there? My son was 14 years old. My oldest son, I was like, do I dare? He's got these earphones on his ear, and what he's doing is he's downloading something into the computer of his mind. And so one day I just walked over to him, and I took those things off of his head and put them on my ears because I couldn't hear otherwise what he was listening to. If you're a parent who cares, that's got to be a scary moment in your life. When you know your kids can put on earphones and you have no clue what's going into their minds. And when I listened to what was going into his mind, we had to buy another set of earphones. Now, he was in his teens, and by then I realized that I am going to have to start letting go. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? I'm going to have to start saying to him, Lord, you're going to have to start putting into effect some of the things I have tried to teach you over the years. And I had to realize that I've got to back off. I can't be ripping their earphones off and buying them new sets every other day. But you can count that they have numbered the lectures Dad has given them on these things.